To be seated, be seated. But if you would like to stand for God's word, please stand. This is God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. Have you been to Pepper Sauce Cave? Have any of you been to Pepper Sauce Cave? I have one hand. Do you? Anybody else know what Pepper Sauce Cave is? Hey, good. More hands. So you should take a field trip as Covenant Prez to Pepper Sauce Cave. Pepper Sauce Cave is this mile-deep cave on the other side of Mount Lemmon. Last spring, Jonah and Penny and I took our Jeep Cherokee over the top of Mount Lemmon, which apparently you're supposed to go the other way because it's less bumpy. And parked on Mount Lemmon Highway, which is a dirt road, along with a bunch of other cars, got out of our car and went down into a ravine past a local film club for Pima Community College, finishing up a film shoot, and then scurried our way up the dirt and rock embankment over some tree roots to the mouth of Pepper Sauce Cave. And we stepped into the mouth of Pepper Sauce Cave, where it was dimly lit because the sunlight still filtered in to the opening narthex of a room. But there in front of us stood this hole that was about this big into a tunnel that was very dark. And so we got down on our hands and knees, and I got down onto my belly as well. We turned on our flashlights and headlamps and belly crawled into the first real room of the cave. And I convinced my children, maybe as a grumpy adult, to turn off our flashlights. Jonah reminded me this morning that in that moment we prayed, because what felt like 5 minutes was actually probably only about 5 seconds. The darkness is overwhelming. It simultaneously heightens our senses, and it feels like we can hear sounds from far away, but it tricks our senses, making us feel like we're going to bump our heads on anything, even though likely it's somewhere far away. A friend of mine who's in his mid-20s and super adventurous and recently moved out of Tucson, when he found out that we went to Pepper Sauce Cave, said, "When you go into the darkness of a cave for the first time, it's weirdly emotional and overwhelming. All of the darkness, you don't know what to do with it. You and I don't like to admit it, but we get overwhelmed. We get afraid and get emotional in the dark." And for many of us, this is what it's been like for the last 20 months. Even as we have become more public, out of quarantine, I think we're mostly fully out of quarantine, but the residual effects of all of that isolation, where we felt cut off, even now still feel isolated or lonely, overwhelmed in the darkness of anxiety, depression, and loneliness and other ailments. For others of us, the holiday season feels this way as we remember loved ones that we've lost over the past year or in past years. Others of us come into this joyful season and watch other people celebrate and experience joy, but we've been experiencing depression or anxiety over the last 4 months. And we feel even more alone and in the dark because we feel like we can't experience the joy that other people are experiencing. We feel overwhelmed. Others of us feel trapped in some addiction, and we feel the shame weighing down on us, pushing us deeper into the darkness, afraid that if we show ourselves to other people, the darkness will overwhelm us. We feel like we cannot escape. It's in the midst of these overwhelming states that we struggle to feel a sense of hope, a sense of seeing clearly that we will be okay, because God is with us and God will take care of us. We feel like we're in the dark, unable to see, lonely, isolated, overwhelmed. This is what the Bible describes as the human experience. People walking around in darkness, unable to see, not only because of their own sin, but because of the brokenness of the world and the brokenness of ourselves following post the fall. It's not just that our vision is cloudy or blurry and we just need to get into focus and see clearly and find the right thing. It's like being in the back of Pepper Sauce Cave, which is a mile back without any light. But according to the Bible as well, human beings weren't made to walk in the darkness. We were made to know and understand things, to clearly make sense of the world. So we walk around with our whole lives looking for all sorts of things to help us see clearly in the world and make sense and make hope in our lives. Other voices promise to give us light and make sense of the darkness around us. For some of us, we hear the promise of intellect, that if I only studied a little bit more, knew a little bit more in my field or in my topic or in this particular topic, then life would make more sense and the darkness would feel less overwhelming. Others of us, it's a promise of relational connection or physical connection, that if we only found the right person to marry or to date or to be friends with or to spend one night with, then we wouldn't feel so loneliness and the dark would not feel so overwhelming. Or promise of career success, that if we could only meet a certain metric or produce certain numbers, then we would feel like we are worth something and the darkness wouldn't feel so overwhelming. Or people pleasing, that if we could only do something to make that certain person or those certain people happy with us, then we could see clearly the world around us and would feel less overwhelmed in the darkness. Various voices make promises, so we try all these various voices so we can see clearly in the darkness. But all these things that we do, even in the holiday season, all they do is function like changing prescriptions on our glasses as we're standing in the back of Pepper Sauce Cave. Even a good set of prescription lenses that fit our eyes perfectly cannot help us see in the darkness. John proposes that the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who made all the subject matters that inform every work field that you're in, every field of study that you're studying right now, that made all the relationships in this room, in all the relationships that you have outside of this room, that made all of the joyful, delightful foods and sensory experiences that we enjoy in the holiday season, that God became a human being. The God who keeps the world spinning and yours and my life intact, entered creation as a human being to bring light to the darkness. When we stop to think about it, and really stop to think about it, this is mind-blowing. God looked like you and me. The second person of the Trinity looked like you and me. He wouldn't stand out in this room of 70 people. He was a human mammal who ate food, who breathed air, who gave hugs, who went to worship, who studied a trade, who had to learn the Bible, who had to learn to read, who learned to speak Aramaic, who also learned other languages as well, who breathed oxygen like the rest of us. He came because God wants a relationship with people. This is what you and I were made for, to live in relationship with the person who is light. This is what we long for, but according also to the Christian understanding from the Bible, is that human beings are born into darkness because our first parents rebelled against God and were plunged into darkness, unable to see rightly the world of God and the world that the rest of us live in. And they brought the rest of us human beings into that same darkness. It's as if our parents hiked to the back of Pepper Sauce Cave, smashed their lights, and gave birth to us in the back of Pepper Sauce Cave. We were born into darkness, unable to see, never able to see. But God didn't stop and let human beings hang out in the darkness. He promised to come, and then he came, intentionally entered creation as a human being to bring light into the darkness. God's plan and his action was to make rebels into daughters and sons. That's what verses 12 and 13 speak to. When John says, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The only thing that can give light to yours and my darkness and help you and me see our lives and the world around us is receiving the true light. But also according to this morning's passage, we don't easily receive the light. We don't only live in the darkness, we keep our eyes shut. Not only are we born in the back of a cave, we put our hands over closed eyes or put a blindfold on. John puts it this way in verse 11. He says, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But mysteriously, receiving this light becomes something that God does to us. He came into the back of the cave looking for us, to find us. And as soon as he gets to our part of the cave, we can't help but see the light. Our eyes are drawn to it. John uses the metaphor of childbirth here. In what ways do babies assist in their own birth? They don't, right? There's no amount of saying, I'm going to make sure I'm going to help my mom out. There's no amount of pulling themselves up by their bare feet. There's no amount of self-help. There's no amount that helps them be born. They are just born. And mysteriously and graciously and weirdly, this is how God makes his children as well. He causes our hearts to open for us to receive him. Or to use the light metaphor, he opens our eyes and shines the light into our darkness. We can't help but receive him. And for those of us who are Calvinists in the room, which is most of us in a Presbyterian setting, but probably not all of us. Some of you are like, I have no idea what that means. We believe this with our heads. But it's something to begin to believe it in our hearts, that God is so gracious that he speaks into our darkness and pulls us out of the darkness into his light. So what do we do with this? This claim that the Bible, that by the Bible, that God entered creation as the light. I want to propose that we do three different things. We receive the light, we rest in the light, and we begin to reflect the light as witnesses to the rest of the world. So first, we receive the light. God's invitation to us this morning is to receive the reality that you are born and beloved by God. You are made to become God's daughter or son. Or you already are God's daughter or son as a Christian, to be in loving relationship with him. Receive the truth that you are forgiven of the darkness that you have brought into the world, into your own life and into the lives of other people because of sin that you have committed or sin that's in your heart. Some of us know this. We say that we received Christ when we were 6 or 16 or last year. Some of us say that we never knew a day that we didn't know Jesus, and these are all true. But just like we don't open our eyes once in Pepper Sauce Cave when we see the light and then look away, we continually look to Christ to see him shining through the scriptures of where God is at work in his grace for us. We start to follow after him and trust him just like the person holding the flashlight in the cave who helps us locate ourselves, to see ourselves more clearly, to see the bumps that we want to dodge on the way out, and to see that we are okay because he is with us with the light. Some of us perhaps received Christ and became Christian years ago, but we've put him on the back burner of our life, and we have come to church today, or maybe come to church in the last several months, curious to engage again. But we feel this sense of shame that I should have had my life together. I should have kept coming. I should have been bringing my family all along. But just like a rescue worker who comes to the back of the cave looking for somebody who is lost, doesn't shame the person who is lost, neither does Christ shame you. He comes to find you and welcome you and embrace you and say, welcome home. Come expectant to worship for God to show up. When you read or sing the scriptures, look for the light of God's truth and his grace for you. Not just abstractly, but for you as well. When you're seeing Christmas lights as you drive by, I don't know what you think of them or not. Let the Holy Spirit use that common grace of people being drawn to the light to stir in your heart this idea that Christ came to bring light to your darkness because he loves you. Some others of us in the room aren't Christians, but we know that we live in a dark world. But we haven't been able to figure out the light that shines and makes sense of the world around us or the darkness inside of us. And might I invite you to believe, or at least consider, that Jesus is the light that you're longing for, who helps you make sense of the darkness of the world? Or might I at least invite you into further conversations to open your mind to that possibility, to continue the conversation with somebody else in this room? There's people in this room that would love to get coffee with you. Pastor Chelpka or the elders would love to read the Bible with you or be in a small group with you to open God's scriptures together and wrestle towards the truth, so that we together as human beings made in God's image might look to the light together. Not only do we receive the light, we also are called to rest in the light. Particularly those of us who are Christians in the room, I want to encourage you to rest in the light. Take a deep breath of faith. According to this passage and the rest of the Christian scriptures, the darkness will not and cannot win. It cannot overwhelm you. You might be tempted to be afraid in the back of the cave, but Jesus, the light, will never let you go. The darkness cannot overcome him. Your darkness cannot overcome him. The darkness of the world cannot overcome him. Jesus will never leave you nor abandon you in the darkness. We feel the anxiety and the loneliness and the depression, especially this time of year as festivities are high, and we feel torn between the two. But lean in, take a deep breath, and know that Jesus, the light, will never leave you. If you're feeling pulled down and weighed down by the darkness, take a small step of courage, call a friend in the room or friend somewhere else and ask them to remind you of God's grace and truth. They might rest in the light. We need each other. As you make mistakes and you do things that you're ashamed of, he promises to never abandon you. Those of you who are not Christians, this is what Christianity invites you to. The secure place, the secure, existential, true, real place of being a daughter or son of the living God who will never let you go. Take a deep breath of faith. Be reminded that you can rest in God's love and that nothing else will help you see more clearly in the world. Reflect the light. John the disciple talks about another John in this passage, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a witness to the light. It says that he pointed people to Jesus. Later on, he admits personally, but admits here, that he himself was not the light. He admitted that he could not rescue people out of the darkness. He took them by the hand and invited them to look for the true light who would rescue them and help them make sense of the world and put them into right relationship with God. And just like John the Baptist, when we become daughters or sons of the living God, when we become Christians, God invites us as his children to invite other people to know and receive the light so that others can become children of God as well. We do this in tangible ways through undeserved compassion and kindness. We also do it through conversation and listening and friendship with non-Christian neighbors, inviting them to places where they can hear God's truth and grace. We also reflect it to each other as Christians because we need each other. This is why Covenant Prez has a whole host of calendar events throughout the year. Parties and picnics, field trips, game nights. This is why Pastor Chelpka and the elders want you spending time together in discipleship and mentorship and friendship, reflecting Christ's light to each other, not to shame each other, not to outdo each other, but to remind each other of God's grace and truth of his light, helping us see each other and God's glory all the more clearly. So might I encourage you to text message or call someone this week who you know might be having a hard week as they face the holidays, to encourage them with friendship, to encourage them with the truth of God's grace, to perhaps even invite someone to your festivities who might be experiencing the darkness of loneliness. That way they might experience the light of God's love through your hospitality. Just like we share the light of our flashlight in a cave in the back with other people whose lights have burned out, whose lights are getting dim or feeling dim, we do this to other people in the world because we have light. We've seen the light. Last spring, for maybe 5 seconds, my children and I sat in a real physical darkness, and it was overwhelming. But we were able to turn on our flashlights and follow the light out of the darkness. So often in Christianity, even as Christians, and even at Christmas time, as we're getting consumed by the anxiety of the times, we're tempted to think of Jesus as the light that guides us out of the darkness, whether it's in our behavior or in our ethics or in our policies or in our theologies. That if we only can follow the light, that we'll be okay. But sisters and brothers, that's not the good news of Christianity. If we start to believe that Jesus lights our way out of the darkness, that we will quickly despair and get overwhelmed by the darkness of our own efforts. The true good news and the hope of Christianity and Christmas is that the Word came to dwell with us. He is not just some light that helps us see the way out. He is the light who is with us, shining in the darkness. He is God who became flesh to be with us. And in this perfect light, lived a perfect life and faced the darkness of God's wrath on the cross for us. He became overwhelmed in the darkness for us, for our sin. He entered into the darkness of death for you and for me. But the darkness of death could not overcome him. He rose from the grave, destroying the darkness, the ultimate darkness forever. He then ascended to reign at God's right hand and sent his Spirit to be with us. The fact that he is with us means that we are going to be okay. The Spirit of Jesus helps us see that we're not in some claustrophobic cave constantly about to bump our head, but that we're in a wide open world where He is bringing the light of His truth as He reigns over all things. You and I can have courage in the face of everything that we face that's unknown, that's scary, because if you're a Christian, the darkness cannot overcome you. It might scare you, it might tempt you, or even cause you to close your eyes for a time, but Jesus is with you and will never leave you and will never forsake you, and He has made you His daughter or His son of the living God and the Father. And one day, He promises to come in all of His glory to bring light to all of our darkness and dwell with us forever and ever. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, help us to believe this.